You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
All right, you are Locked On Broncos. It is time to talk some Broncos and some NFL draft. Chad Jensen will not be with us for another day, so it is me, Luke Polglaze, back hosting in here. I'm joined once again by my man, Nick Kendall, the draft analyst over at Mile High Huddle. Nick, what is good? Good to have you back.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
Yeah, sure thing. After the show we had together on Tuesday, how could you not be back?
Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun, and I'm excited to dive into some more prospects. Some hopefully future Broncos coming up here.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're on this station, on this podcast, we're committed to bringing you a daily podcast focused entirely on the Denver Broncos, at least 5 days a week, every week of the year. And we're not here to just talk about the news. This is where we go in depth on the news, where we talk deep Denver Broncos and go into it for the Broncoholics out there. So definitely follow us on Twitter at Locked On Broncos. You can follow us on iTunes and Stitcher. Definitely subscribe there and find us on Audio Boom. As we go further into the off season, we got the combine coming up, plenty of draft talk to be had. You're not going to want to miss a single episode of it. But tonight we're going to go ahead and talk about another couple Twitter requests for guys to scout. We're going to start with the tweet from at Evan Salveson. He wanted us to take a look at Adoree Jackson, the USC cornerback, wide receiver, return man, kind of jack of all trades. He's 5'11", 185, one of the kind of bigger names in the Pac-12. I mean, Nick, first of all, your thoughts on Jackson?
Well, he's definitely a dynamic athlete. He can line up as a returner, wide receiver, slot, played outside for USC, and his straight line speed, I mean, he might have the fastest 40 at the combine. I wouldn't be surprised at all. I do worry a little bit about his frame. He is 5'11 and 185, like you said, but he's a little skinny for cornerback. So that's something that you need to look at. And he might have to play specifically slot or maybe even transition to free safety. Watching him, I actually see some skills that might be good at free safety.
Yeah, I completely agree with the free safety assessment, actually. I mean, when we're talking about, you know, sometimes you'll hear this thrown around with football players that they have, you know, track star speed. Well, quite frankly, Jackson does have track star speed. He ran like a 10.48 100 meter dash, which is, you know, he ran track for USC. Let's face it, the guy can run. That's about what Devin Hester ran, actually, in the 100 meter dash. So, you know, it's no surprise that he can run fast, but I'm really impressed by the way that he uses that speed with his tackling angles. You know, he takes the right angle to the ball carrier, even when he has to sprint downfield to catch the guy. He's on target. I mean, he's aiming in the right direction, which sometimes you'll see guys just, especially with that kind of speed, just don't get the right trajectory and they'll bottom out. And so they have the speed to get there, but they'll just miss too low. And I do have issues with Jackson's tackling. You know, I think he's a willing tackler, but he's not a good tackler. He just kind of grabs at the legs a bit. But he has the speed to get there. And that sometimes is just so impressive to see with guys chasing down those big plays from behind.
Yeah, that's something I see as well. I see him as an able tackler despite his wiry frame. And he plays with attitude. He does need to have better discipline when he's tackling and wrap up instead of trying to make a big hit or going for the legs. But that's something that'll come with coaching. And he's going to have to if he's going to make it in the NFL. And your point about him taking the proper angles, that's something that you see as well on tape, is that he is great in pursuit, which is unique for a corner. And one of the reasons I think that he may transition well to free safety, just because he can find the ball carrier, take him down.
Yep. Great point. And, you know, I think in terms of his college game, that speed is probably his greatest asset, but I think it's one of also his biggest downfalls. I mean, he has the speed to basically run step for step with anybody down the field. But when it comes to actually playing cornerback, you'll see just all too often this happened time and again in his 2016 game against Washington, against John Ross, who's a wide receiver that I really like. You know, it's third and 10. He'll be playing 10 yards off in off coverage. And, you know, Ross will run a comeback breaking from 15 to 12 and Jackson just overruns it. You know, he's already at 10 and instead of just kind of settling, you know, padding his feet and letting the receiver come to him, he's too quick to bail and play the deep route. And so he just allows too many completions on the comeback routes underneath because he has the speed, quite frankly, to play those. He can play a little bit further off and trust his ability to break and play the ball. But the flip side is, you know, that struggles at times against college players, when you get to the NFL, when you've got bigger athletes, that is also going to be more of an issue.
Yeah, agreed completely. I also noticed in watching him that sometimes he does tend to cheat a little bit with his eyes. He will try to jump a route, and this leads to problems on double moves specifically, where he can get beat over the top. I watched his game against Will Fuller, first round pick last year, the Texans, and I think he gave up 2 70-plus-yard touchdowns because he cheated and he got burnt. So you love that aggressiveness because he does have the ability to attack the ball and make some huge plays. I think he returned an interception for a touchdown this year, as well as having 4 combined kick return and punt returns for touchdowns. So he's a dynamic athlete in space when the ball's in his hands. But he is also dynamic for the other team because he can be too aggressive, and that can get you burnt.
Dynamic for the other team is not what you want to hear for a cornerback. Yeah, I mean, when you talk about him athletically, he's an incredible athlete. I mean, this guy has one of the loosest pairs of hips that I've ever seen. He's so fluid. I mean, just in and out of his footwork, in and out of his breaks. He's able to really kind of mirror the receiver through whatever it takes. He resets his feet well, but he just at the line, he doesn't have just the play strength to play press. And so you kind of like that speed playing off guys. And I really think that's where he's going to settle. He doesn't really have, I don't think, the IQ right now to play like a zone kind of passing pattern matching coverage. He's just going to be an off man corner that you just put in the slot, I think, on a guy and just say, hey, go be an athlete in space for us.
Yeah, I see that too. And despite him being a little smaller at 185, he does have a longer wingspan. And you can see that this year. I think he had 15 passes broken up, which is pretty good for a cornerback. I do think eventually he could play in zone, but right now they just never asked him to play press or use his hands at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah. And that does just kind of pop up with the way that if he's kind of fighting with a receiver down the field, he doesn't have the ability to. He's just too weak to actually do that.
Yep. He needs to keep adding on to his strength. He probably needs to put on another 10 pounds if he's going to be able to play any sort of boundary corner in the NFL. But I really think with his ability to make plays on the ball, his decent pursuit, and his just dynamic return ability, that free safety would be just for almost any team. In Denver, we want our corners to be a little more physical, able to mess with the guys at the line of scrimmage, and he doesn't offer that so much right now. So if he did come to Denver, I think free safety, or playing maybe some nickel and free safety in what Arizona does with Honey Badger, would be a great option for him early on.
Yeah, and you got quite a few guys in that draft, I think, kind of in that similar mold of smaller guys, athletic guys, so you can kind of mix and match around. You got Buda Baker, who I think is a first-round talent out of Washington. Corn Elder out of Miami, who's a tiny guy but plays like he's 300 pounds. You got a lot of guys in this draft that if you're a defensive coordinator and a defensive backs coach in particular, you kind of take a long look at and say, ooh, there's a lot I can do with this guy.
Yeah, there is literally a safety or a corner for every scheme in this draft. It's probably the best secondary draft I've seen since I started watching. I don't know if there's any specific corner better than Ramsey last year, but top to bottom, this is just a phenomenal corner class. You're going to get guys who could go top 40 almost any year, end of the third round. I mean, it's just so deep.
Yep, I completely agree. So it's going to be a lot of fun to get to scout this draft as a defensive backs coach.
Yes. And as for Denver specifically, Adoree Jackson would obviously be an immediate upgrade to Norwood in the return game. This past season, he had a kick return for 29.5 yards per return and 2 touchdowns, and his punt returns were 15.8 yards per return for 2 touchdowns. So he's super dynamic in special teams as well. And that's something that Denver has been missing since Trindon Holiday left.
And again, when you talk about Trindon Holiday, of course, he was a guy who was also dynamic for the other team at times.
Got to protect the ball. Rule number one, you can't score if you don't have the ball, unless you have Denver's awesome defense that's returning touchdowns all the time.
Yeah, well, I think that just about wraps it up for Adoree Jackson for me. We're going to move on in a second, take another question. But first, I just wanted to talk about a survey that is going to be very relevant for some of you business owners out there. A study from the Interactive Advertising Bureau and Edison Research found that consumers were very likely to purchase from podcast sponsors. Now, According to that survey of 1,000 podcast listeners, nearly two-thirds of them were more willing to consider purchasing products and services they learned about during a podcast. That is 65% of them, folks. 60% added that given equal price and quality, they would rather purchase from companies that advertise on their favorite podcast. So that means one thing. If you're listening to this show, business owners, that is some important numbers. And if you want to reach the male demographic between the ages of 18 and 44, this is the podcast for you. 98% of our listenership is male, 80% of which are between the ages 18 to 44. Our rates are very reasonable. Feel free to reach out to us at lockedonbroncos@gmail.com to discuss it. Now, our second question this week comes from listener Brady Stole My Backpack at Slim Shady A-Bay, saying, "Hey, podcast suggestion, I'd like to hear broken down Mike Williams versus Corey Davis, and if the Broncos should take one if they slide to 20. Now, of course, me and Eric Trickle over on Mile High Huddle, he and I were on the podcast earlier this week. We broke down Corey Davis, the Western Michigan receiver. Both of us agreed this kid is special, as Eric said, really dynamic player. Mike Williams, though, we have yet to discuss on this program, so I think we should start there. The Clemson guy, obviously, he's got a national championship ring on his finger right now, so I can't imagine he's complaining too much. But, you know, walk us through this playmaker, Nick.
Well, he is 6'3", 220 pounds with long arms and the body to box out defenders. So he's one of those typical go up and get it kind of guys. This last season, he had pretty good statistics. In 2015, he had an injury that caused him to miss almost the entire year. But 2016, he made up for it with 98 receptions, 1,361 yards, 13.9 yards per catch, and 11 touchdowns. So he definitely was a big part of the Clemson championship offense. He does have the ability to make wow contested catches. We saw that in the game against Alabama where he'd have defenders just draped all over him, and he was still able to go up, fight for the ball, especially on those back shoulder fades, go up and be physical and attack the ball and bring it down. He is not a burner. He does not have the ability to create space very well at the next level. However, I do see decent long speed on tape when he gets going, but his get off is mediocre.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I find that as an evaluator, you kind of tend to find position kind of descriptions that you gravitate towards more, you know, the kind of ideal player that you would like to see at that position. For me, I know I like wide receivers with great footwork at the line. I just know that this is one of my kind of soft spots, say, as an analyst. Mike Williams is not one of those guys, but I don't think that means he can't win at the next level. His footwork at the line is not great. I mean, his job description in many cases is just to go be big, I mean, and go get the ball. Now, what he does have is great hands at the line. I mean, his work with his hands to swim off that, you know, to rip, he's going to use his hands to gain separation and gain space at the line, and he does it incredibly well. Now, down the field, I think it's really interesting to note how quick he is to play the ball. I mean, he goes from running to turning for the ball faster than a defensive back can cue off. And when you're a defensive back, you're cueing off two things. You're cueing off the hands of the wide receiver, and you're cueing off his eyes. Once his hands go up, you know, and his eyes come around, that's when you play the ball. You know, wide receivers can look back too early. That's going to fool you, but they can't catch the ball without their hands up. So defensive backs who are unable to cue off that don't just, you know, quite frankly, don't know when to make a play on the ball. And when he is so patient with his hands, you know, he's aggressive at the line, and then he's patient with them down the field. Defensive backs are just not sure what to cue. And I think it's very interesting to note that, you know, I think he's a monster in jump ball situations. I mean, you throw that ball up, he's going to go get that. Like, whatever it takes, guys draped all over him, he's going to come down with it. But to me, he's not that good of a guy, not that good of a receiver when it comes to balls, you know, thrown where he has to go across his body. And I think in those situations, he is really not as physical as he could be. When that's those balls kind of thrown on slants, on posts, when he has to go and, you know, fight a guy off his body trying to reach for that ball, I don't think he's as strong there. And I think that's a very interesting kind of counterpoint to just how dynamic he is when it's a throw the ball up and let him jump for it situation.
Yeah, I agree completely. Also, his route running itself is not very deceptive in and out of breaks. And Clemson didn't ask him to run many routes, which is something that he's going to be slow to process in at first. I saw four main routes consistently: go routes, slants, digs, and quick outs. And he's going to have to run substantially more routes in the NFL if he's going to make it. I also do really enjoy his yak ability, yard after catch. They did use him a fair amount in the screen game, which is something that's kind of surprising for such a big wide receiver. It almost kind of reminded me of how Denver likes to use Demaryius Thomas, because they get that big guy the ball early and he's just bouncing corners off of him and he's making big plays. So, surprisingly for how not exceptionally fluid he looks in his routes, when he has the ball in his hands, he moves pretty well. He's pretty fluid and can make guys miss and bounce off tacklers consistently.
Yeah, and we've seen this kind of model of wide receiver several times in the first round over the last couple of years. I mean, I think the classic example is Rashad Perriman, you know, a big height, weight, speed guy who's going to go up and get the ball. But to me, the difference between the two, and I think this is a comparison that's going to get made at some point, I don't believe in it. I think Williams is a far better player once the ball is in the air, and I think his hands are far better than Perriman. To this day, I'm not sure why Perriman got taken in the first round besides height, weight, speed. I wasn't that big of a fan of his. So I think that's going to be an interesting one to kind of see how Mike Williams compares to recent first round picks at the position. And of course, you know, here we are in this situation where we're being asked to compare and contrast him with Corey Davis, who's going to be, I think, another first round pick at the position this year. You know, your initial thoughts on the kind of Williams versus Davis debate, which is one we're going to be having, I think, all the way up until the draft.
Well, personally, from watching both of them, I would take Davis over Williams. He just is a more polished route runner and he does a lot more for the offense. However, it's very unfortunate that Davis had an ankle injury and it sounds like he might not be competing in some of the combine drills, which would have really helped him being he's a small school product. We need to see how he tests up next to the big boys. One thing about Williams that I wanted to touch on also that's very an underrated aspect of his game is he is a very strong downfield blocker. I consistently saw him down 20 plus yards down the field taking out safeties or cornerbacks, which sprung Gallman or Watson for big gains, which really helped the Clemson offense in the since they're such a dynamic run team.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, he's a very patient blocker when it comes to moving downfield. He waits for the cornerback to engage. He's not going to kind of jump on him prematurely. I do agree. I think that's a great aspect of it. And to me, what it comes down to is I think Corey Davis is just so much more pro ready of a prospect right now. He's really, he can win inside. He can win outside for you. And right now, if I'm an evaluator, I'm going to take that guy who can win in the slot, who can win outside for me, and who can win in so many different ways, creating separation down the field. Then, I mean, I think Williams' ceiling is arguably higher because he's so raw and so physical. But at this point, I think he's more Demaryius Thomas than, say, Julio Jones.
Agreed, and that's a great comparison. I think right now I would compare him just kind of the bigger body, raw type of wide receiver in maybe Mike Evans or an Alshon Jeffrey, where he's going to need a quarterback that's going to put the ball in a place for him that he can go get it and win with his physicality, because I don't see him with his route running right now being able to help his quarterback with much separation. For comparison, an interesting tidbit about Williams compared to Davis is that Williams only accounted for 27% of his team's yardage in the passing game this last year and 26% of their receiving touchdowns, in comparison to Corey Davis, who accounted for 42% of Western Michigan's yardage and nearly 58% of their touchdowns. So Davis was a much more integral part Broncos, Western Michigan Broncos offense compared to what Mike Williams was for Clemson. Now that could be because Clemson had more playmakers. They had Gallman, they had Jordan Leggett, they had Scott
Renfro,
yeah, just a lot of playmakers. Another thing to note about Williams as well is that Clemson didn't really miss many beats last year, even though he was out the entire year. So it's something to note.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Now, for you, if they both slip to 20, are you going to pull the trigger on either one of those if you're John Elway sitting there at pick 20?
Davis would be tempting for me because Denver does need another weapon, especially if they're going to run more three wide receiver sets. However, after watching a lot of tape on many different prospects in this class, I just can't help but think there is a more valuable position that Denver could go after, whether it be a defensive lineman or pretty much anybody on defense. This is a stacked defensive class that would be a better contributor and more fit Elway's mold.
Yeah, I'm going to completely agree with that and say that I think if Corey Davis in particular, I don't necessarily think this is the case for Mike Williams, but if Corey Davis slips to 20, he will get picked there. But I think it's going to be John Elway trading back in this draft, accumulating more picks, and some other team is going to jump up for Corey Davis because I don't think he should really slip to 20 in this draft. So somebody is going to try and jump up to grab him off the board.
And there are teams in front of Denver that are wide receiver desperate, whether it be Philadelphia at 14, who desperately needs a wide receiver one to pair with Wentz, or the Titans at 18, or the Bucks at 19 even. They really need another weapon opposite Mike Evans. So I just don't see either of these wide receivers making it to 20, which is probably for the best for Denver because they have other needs.
Right, and they have other needs in a draft that I think is going to drop down in talent right around like 22 or 23 in this draft.
Agreed. There'll be a top 15 talent that might be in within reach of Denver that I hope they pick at 20.
Yep, I can't disagree with that. So I think that'll just about do it for us here today. My man, Nick, thanks again for coming on. It was great having you back.
Hey, thanks for having me, Luke. And again, follow me at ndkendall on Twitter, K-E-N-D-E-L-L. And I'm happy to talk any Broncos football with you, especially about the draft.
Perfect. And you can definitely tweet more prospects at me on Twitter. I am at Luke Polglaze. Make sure to follow the show at Locked On Broncos on Twitter. We'll be back tomorrow. My man Chad will be back in the house. So we'll be definitely talking more Broncos at that point. Again, make sure to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, check the show out on Audio Boom. And most importantly, click that Twitter follow button. For Nick, for Chad, I am Luke. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.
Mile High Huddle. Huddle.